Can we celebrate my brother and his wife? Thank you so much for the privilege to be here. It's been a long time. I've not been in Adoekiti for a while. I trust God to be back again. I think I have a meeting in the Polytechnic this month. Is it this month? Next week. How did I plan like that? Okay, but I will come. I'll definitely come. All right. The subject of discussion for... No, it was good when Apostle was speaking. So let it still be good. The subject for discussion for tonight is one that I believe is very important in the heart of God. Like a servant was speaking, there is a deficit of accurate representation. And we need to be intentional about making up that deficit. We can pay lip service to it to keep saying that people don't look like Christ, but there must be something definite that we are doing to ensure that they begin to look like him. So just want to pray for another 2 more minutes. I would advise that you pray in your understanding, so that, with a language that you understand, so that your soul can know what you are coming into. You want to say to the Lord that your heart is open to rebuke, to instruction, and that tonight you are signing up to be changed. You are signing up to be changed. The Bible says, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a glass the glory of God, we are transformed into the same image, and it is from glory to glory. That by mercy, as the word of God comes and as the energies of God are disbursed, let a dimension of glory be shared and let another one be picked up. Oh, Raniki Sabaha Vetosia. My heart is open. My heart is open. You can speak, Lord, in a language that my soul can understand. Let everything that functions as a hindrance be broken down. I rejoice at your word. It's like a man who has found a lot of spoil. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. And so, Father, we thank you. In the beginning was the Word, the pre-incarnate dimension of your Son, Jesus Christ. He started in your heart as a concept. That concept was with you. That concept was you. He started 3.5 years. By the witness of scriptures, shows that he was designed to be a pattern man to show us how to live, how to speak, so that the issues of representation will not be without a prototype. Tonight we ask that we will see you. Amen. We ask that you will temper our hearts so that we are attracted to what we see, and that the journey of becomings can begin. Thank you for the energies of your spirit that have been allocated for this service, because they will descend upon us in a short while. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. You may please be seated. So if you have your Bibles, you can come with me, but if you love the screen more than your own Bible, you can stay with the screen. I'll do the same reading, but I will do a more expanded reading from Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to do from verse 1 to 8. Do we have till tomorrow morning? No, since he said he wants me to have time, do we have up till tomorrow morning? So what I'm trying to suggest is, let me know how much time I have, sir. Thank you. You said, okay, can I start counting now? Okay, good. So if you stand up, you are very wrong. Except to ease yourself, or if you feel sleepy, you can just hang around and sit again. All right. Why do we need to read 8 verses from scriptures? I need to give you background. The average church service does not capture long readings anymore. It's because a wisdom has been embodied even by ministers. It's a wisdom that says that we are wiser than scriptures. And so there are many things that we can... help me now. But don't let it be loud. I've still not mastered how to preach without a sound. Okay. So that we are wiser than scriptures. Sometimes there is an over-dependence on the experiences that we have around God, that those experiences begin to replace the knowledge of God's word. One of the downsides of living that way, that's been essentially an inspirational preacher, which is good in one way because people, it sounds intellectual, is that God can be progressively misrepresented, because your encounters many times are not designed at once to deliver all of God. And in case God decides to congregate himself and deliver an encounter to you, there are encounters that require a lot of years before you can fully come into everything that God is saying. It means if you rest so much on the encounters that you have had, you will, because you have not been able to fully receive or fully understand, represent God. So you will call God names that he is, but in retrospect, you will find out that God is more than that. And you will have raised a people whose witness is not total. Now, in the law court, when you're told to bring forth witness, you are given a book. And if the law court recognizes the book, then we should stay with the book. Am I right? You're given a Bible, or maybe a Quran. I don't know what they give the traditional worshippers. I'm sure that the things they give them will not make them lie at all. You know, you can hold a Bible and lie. You know that you will plead with God. But if you are given a gun, you know, you tell the truth. Now, in bringing forth witness, they are told to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It means that your testimony is supposed to be total. And I found out in my few years of work with God that there is no entity that can bring forth a more robust witness about the person of God outside the written word. Nobody. What I'm saying is, if we want to study about the witness, we need a witness. Are you with me? And that's why I want us to read 8 verses of scripture. So the Bible says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Let's go on. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. We'll just run to verse 8, then we'll start work. To whom also, speaking of these apostles that he had chosen, he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible encounters. You will see a fellowship of two tools by which Jesus commissioned his disciples. First, he gave them commandments so they embodied the word. But so that the words that they will bring forth will have validation, they will be words that are gifted conviction, he had to, on a second note, equip them by showing himself alive to them after his passion by many infallible proofs. It means the person who knows scriptures too should labor into encounters. Are you with me? Okay. Being seen of them 40 days, so it was a mixture of engagement, sometimes in commandments, other times in encounters to show that it was truly alive, for a period of 40 days. Now, 40 is in scriptures the number of testing. Some people call it the number of maturity. So that it was expected that during this time, Jesus had brought to perfection all that he wanted them to be by instruction and all that he wanted them to know by encounter. It is expected that if you are in doubt, by day 40, doubt should have been cleared. Are you with me? Okay. B, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So there was an emphasis in the encounters that he gave to them and the commandments that he gave them. Now, it's possible that in your walk with God, a gate of encounters open. And I tell people, if your encounters are not guided, you will spend the rest of your life pursuing things that Jesus is not about. Especially if your encounters are dream encounters. You don't have too much control over what you see in your dream. And I found a lot of people jettisoning such prayers that will have gifted them the opportunity of being conformed to the Christ. And then begin to pursue after the meaning of dreams that the Christ did not give them. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. You see, I'm preaching like a promotion because I'm not a stranger here. This is home. Yes. So we need to be wary of those kind of things. There's the balance. And then when you study scriptures, you need to pay attention to the order of communication. The first thing that he gives them is commandments. It means scriptures comes first. It gives you boundaries of what you will have as encounters. It also lays a foundation for you so that if an encounter comes and does not fit, because in a foundation, you don't just have a substructure. In the foundation, you can see the plan. Are you with me? Yeah, so you see the block designs already showing you. What is this small room? It's a store. This one should be the toilet. The large room should be either a sitting room or the master bedroom, so that whatever encounters you have that do not fit into the design in the plan, you throw them away, no matter how strong they are. Even if you woke up sweating. Okay. And being assembled. No, what's the last line of verse 3? I think it's important. So, the plan was revealed. It was speaking, whether by encounter or by commandment, of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. It was an overtime lecture that Jesus was giving, the type that lecturers who, either because they didn't have time or that their students could not fully grasp the subject of discussion, used to do towards exams. You know, it's now 2 weeks lecture free week, but the lecturer still wants to fix lectures because this 40-day lecture was post-resurrection. It meant that the teaching ministry of Jesus still goes beyond the resurrection. It also means that New Testament ministry captures the reality of teaching. There's an evil that is beginning to happen in the body of Christ, is that there is a massive death of teachers. Even as we approach onto the revival, there is a consciousness that revival meetings are just supposed to be meetings where we just stay ourselves and run, and then nothing happens. I was in a meeting a while ago. I won't tell you how close so that you don't know the meeting, so that they will still invite me again. It was a revival meeting, and they said it was going to be a fire service. So I had to redo a research on the concept of revival, because the Lord said to me that the word revival is a biological word. Yes, if it has to do with life, then it is biological. How that the only need for a revival is that we understand that life once existed here, and for some reasons, life is now at its barest minimum, or that life is totally absent, but this entity was ordained for life. So the need in the revival is not fire. The need in the revival is life. Now, so I was wondering, because they said, no, just put fire on us. And I was wondering, we can't run services like that now. The other thing when we approach onto the revival, outside the need of life, is that there are prayers that should not be prayed in seeking a revival. We don't pray send me prayers for a revival. It is make me alive, because you don't send dead men. Are you with me? So the revival is supposed to reposition us in life, and then when we acquire life, we become sendable men. There is an obsession about representing Jesus without staying with him. So the Bible said he called them that they should be with him and that he might send them. You must be with him. Your sending is conditional. Are you with me? So that if the use to which he seeks to put you is that you just sit down with him, you must be comfortable to sit down with him. Even Jesus in heaven, what is the back end of all of these energies we are seeing in the earth? It's not occasioned by motion. It's occasioned by sitting. That's what Psalm 110 said. Sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. It means as long as he's sitting, then things will move in the earth. So some of us are assigned to sit. Somebody say sit. It means that you will not be known. That's what it means. When you die, your name will not be immortalized in the hearts of men. It will just be held up in God. But you will have fulfilled your purpose that way. I was saying to our congregation on Sunday that destiny is not chosen, it's received. It's received. May you receive your own. Okay. So the kingdom of God was the purpose of his commissioning and the encounters. To whom? No, let's go to verse 4. We are just trying to walk the verse, then I'll go into my notes. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. There is a principle that I want us to capture in verse 5. It will be useful. John truly baptized with water. What the word baptism there is supposed to suggest is total immersion. So that the man who is baptized in water is gifted the experience of being lost in water. Are you with me? If we don't understand that principle, we will not understand how the baptism with the Holy Ghost is supposed to express. Because the baptism with the Holy Ghost is also supposed to be an immersion. It's like a man is clothed. So that you become invisible in the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? That's the design, because Jesus gave us a type. That the type is John baptizing with water. So if you went to the pool, what John would do is to dip you totally inside, and it is expected that you rise with the consciousness of repentance. But the Bible says, but ye shall be baptized. It means you'll be immersed again until you are lost in the Holy Ghost. Not many days from hence. I'm just laying these things. We would understand when I begin to speak. Verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? If you look at the line up from verse 1 to 6, you will find out that there was only one verse that suggested that this whole labor was about the kingdom. Jesus had a backbone to his ministry, and that backbone must be our backbone if our ministry is going to be ministry as witnesses. Because like Apostle said to us, a witness is someone who has probably viewed an event or who is well informed about an event and is someone under the weight of responsibility to communicate in detail, leaving nothing out about the event. Actually, the realm of function of a witness is in the legal realm. It means that there are consequences if your witness is partial or your witness, like he said, is exaggerated. That there are consequences. So, They had in their mind that backbone. They understood the commandments. They understood that the promise was about a kingdom. I'm saying that so that as we view the revival, we have it in our hearts that the revival is not an end concept in God. The revival is a means to an end. Are you with me? In Ezekiel chapter 37, yes, that was the story, the narrative around the valley of dry bones. You will understand that it gives us a picture of a revival. Bones coming together, right? And then the breath entering them and they rising. The end of that labor, all those prophetic movements, was verse 10, the emergence of an exceeding great army. So if they rise and they rise to no activity, nothing happens. Are you with me? So while we focus on the revival, we should understand that the revival is a means. God needs foot soldiers with which or with whom he will establish a kingdom. Now a census is carried out in the spirit, and what the census results communicate to us is that there is a scarcity of men. And so what God will do is that instead of creating more men, he will revive dead men. So that the revival becomes a means to meet up with the quorum of foot soldiers who are supposed to march forward and establish the kingdom. So whatever we do as revival that does not ultimately establish the kingdom is still a waste of spiritual energy. And ultimately it's a waste of life. Amen. Okay. So they were asking him, and I think I shared along this line the last time I came, that when Jesus was crucified, there were writings on his cross. His crime on the side of eternity was the sin of Adam. His crime on the side of the Jews was blasphemy. His crime on the side of the Romans was treason. So Jesus went to the cross for three different reasons. The Jews didn't know why they were crucifying him, that God had something behind. So Paul comes back to say that if the princes of this world had known the impact of what they were doing, that it was a strange spirit that was telling them that it was blasphemy. Because if Abraham came, Abraham would bow before him. So they had their reason. The king Herod and Pilate, they nailed him on the cross because he spoke too much about the kingdom. And in speaking about this kingdom, he introduced himself as the king of that kingdom. What kind of person are you? And you know, when they moved around Jesus, they saw the energies of that invisible kingdom. He could do things that the average person could not do. Even his teaching ministry occasioned so much of the miraculous that those who had mastered teaching had to sit with him in John chapter 3 to say, "We know that thou art a man, a teacher, sent from God. You didn't just come as a man. Your teaching ministry is a descendant of God." May that be the testimony of our teaching ministries. Because no one can do these things that you do except God be with him. So the teaching ministry of Jesus was not gifted a cutting edge with eloquence. It was the ability to do things that no other person could do. If God was not with you, you'll not be able to do those things. So, treason. That was why he went to the cross. But we know that it was about the original sin of Adam. That God had promised, if you eat of the fruit of this tree, in the day that you eat of the fruit of that tree, in dying, you will die. So man was gifted about 4,000 years to occasion dying. And to be able to cut short that work that God was doing in righteousness, what he did was that a man had to go and pay the ultimate price. Dying from the perspective of God was separation from God. So what God said was, see, we have a relationship, and that relationship occasions fellowship. If you eat of the fruit of this tree, the first thing that we die is fellowship, but we'll still be related. I will still supply food to you. I will still make sure that you are alive. I'm not going to withdraw oxygen, But progressively, as you journey with oxygen, the farther you are away from me, a day will come when even relationship will be broken. You know, if you stop talking to your friend for a long time, after a while, if you call him your friend, you'll be a liar. It was that kind of a relationship that God was suggesting. But God, at a point, the Bible says at the fullness of time, decided that that journey to final break of relationship should not happen in the future. Let it happen now, so that men can restart the journey. So Jesus had to come to die for us, die on our behalf. What I mean is that he died for us, and he died as us. He puts a weight. It means you must live for him. But when we speak about the witness, you must live as him. That's the burden of a witness, is living as him. That if you stand at the bus stop, you stand with the consciousness that is Jesus that is standing. And even if somebody takes your place in the bus and you are about to curse the person, you will remember that whatever escapes your lips is going to be seen as what escaped the lips of the Christ. I was preaching to a bike man, and I was really enjoying myself. I was running an errand for my wife. I do that when I'm around, because I'm really around anyway. So I was preaching to this man, and I know that the man was like Felix. He was on the verge of being converted until a young lady that lives in our area, when she comes, she's the parents are ministers, but when she comes out, even we used to tell her, why do you look like this? Go back. It's church bus that they used to bring her to school. So everybody in the area knows that, oh, it's a pastor's person. She was on another bike with a friend. Only Jesus knows where they were going at that time of the day. And she cried out, Daddy! Immediately the bike man looked back and saw the way she looked. My sermon ended. Because the guy felt, oh, is that what your children look like? The problem of that young lady was that she forgot that everything about the witness educates people as to who the Christ is. So it's a big body. It's a big body. I hope we still want to journey with this, or we should teach on faith. Amen. So, because the Roman soldiers crucified him for treason, they decided to go by the way of mockery. And so they had a plaque at the top of his cross. And on that plaque, they decided to employ their writings in all of the languages that the people who could possibly come around the cross could understand. It was in Aramaic, it was in Hebrew, it was a third language, to make sure that everybody knows that hanging naked, somebody say naked, because he was naked, all that tying cloth around Jesus is that people just want to, how can you put a naked Jesus on the cross? So they decided to give him a cloth. He died a criminal, and so there was no dignity in his crucifixion. Why did he have to go that way? Because when, God, I don't want to go this far, but this atmosphere is very revelatory. That's why I'm like that. Okay, we'll enter here now. Because when Adam sinned, Adam realized that he had broken fellowship, because every time he approached unto God, he was assigned a garment of interaction. The glory of God will wipe you out. And so what God can do to ensure that you stay in fellowship is that he gives you as a garment what he is. Are you with me? So man wore the glory of God so that every time he interfaced with God, he will not be destroyed, because natures were the same. He was not embodied, but he was an outer coat. He was learning, and education was supposed to bring him to a point where what was superficial becomes what is internalized. But in the day that he sinned, he became naked. And he was not only naked in his spirit, he was naked in his body. Because his consciousness, what made him hide, was that he was physically naked. If you will take the place of Adam on the cross, then you will be left naked in your spirit. You will be left naked in your soul. The nakedness of the soul is the vulnerability to the signals of the enemy. And you must be naked in your body. So Jesus vocalized his nakedness in the spirit when he gave up his spirit. He vocalized the nakedness of his soul when he said, "Thou hast forsaken me." The nakedness of his body had to be displayed on the cross. Just like Adam said, we hid because we were naked. The one who will take the place of Adam must also be naked. Are you with me? Good. So, what the Roman soldiers hoisted on the cross was a naked king. Maybe that was the first time in the history of man that a king that powerful became naked. So Jesus had to tell them, "No one taketh my life." It's not the way of kings to be disgraced like that. I laid it down. Stay with me. The disciples read what was on the cross from a distance. There was only one of them who stood at the foot of the cross, that you died as a king. Now we thought it was an end, but you have resurrected. And beyond the shadow of a doubt, you have abode with us for 40 days. You have spoken things that looked like the things you used to say. So we know it's still you. You have also showed us by the multiplicity of encounters that you are the same person. Where is the kingdom? Because when we say that the burden of the witness is accurate representation, the burden of the witness in expanded dimensions is kingdom representation. Jesus died to save men as a means to gain a kingdom. And so if men are added to the church, but a kingdom is not established, we should also ask the Lord, "Will thou at this time," when is this kingdom agenda going to be filled? Because 10 years ago, and I mean 10 years ago, it was impossible even in Nigeria to gather about 30,000 youths together for 72 hours and they are praying. My friend on the other side of the Niger is currently doing 50 days of Pentecost. I mean, those guys live permanently in church, many of them for 50 days. They pray the rest, they pray the rest, and their rest time is majorly teaching time. When they come out of those movements, they are high. No, if you smoke something continuously for 50 days, are you not going to be high? So, it wasn't happening 10 years ago. I'm sure that the average youth who is serious with God has prayed more in a lifetime than some of our fathers. But the problem is as though the way we are increasing, darkness is increasing. It may not be that the things we are doing don't have effect. It may be that we don't know the purpose of the things we are doing. That once we come out and we are high, we used to know in school that if you want to propose to a lady that every other person is afraid of, what you can do if you are one of us is that you stay in your room, you lock up, and you pray in tongues. You know that WhatsApp thing. You enter your room like a kitten, you come out like a lion, and you are not talking to anybody. You greet nobody on the road. You go straight to the sister, and in that high state, you cast your vision for relationship and you move away. The people on the other side don't need to pray that long. There are too many things you can smoke now, including paint. Yes. So you are high, you approach the person, you can beat who you will not have been able to beat when you are high. But if you are high and there's nothing to do with it, it becomes a problem. And that's where we are. So we have mastered how to exit the earth, but to no purpose. There is a kingdom. There is a kingdom. The disciples were seemingly exasperated with, "You came back to teach us another 40 days. Where's the kingdom now?" So Jesus said to them, verse 7, I'm almost where the apostle stopped. And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons." What Jesus explained in this verse for me is troubling, because I would have expected that he says, "It is not for you to know the season." But if he adds times to it, it means he's gifting us two dimensions of time.
that it is not given to you to know the natural passage of time. That's what you call chronos. So that if a lady is pregnant, for example, one of the proofs that she's pregnant is that she might begin to have what they call money sickness. She speaks, some of them convulse. And then when she gets into the second trimester, you will have felt that the big trouble was over, but now she has a lot of allergies. God help my wife, because some people eat strange things. You know, they wake up in the middle of the night and say it's fried yam I want to eat, but it's the one that has smoke inside it. And then you're wondering, how do you couple? Are you my son? Start praying. You know, sometimes they say it's jollof rice, but that the one that they used firewood to cook, if that smoke odor is not inside it, they will not eat it. And sometimes it happens at 11 p.m. So if you buy rice, you may need to arrange sticks and re-smoke it. When you see those things begin to happen, if you are a wise man, you should start saving money. The wisdom in saving money is drawn from your understanding of the chronological dimension of time, that after this is this. After these allergies, there will be a season of peace for a while, and then she will go into contractions. So you must prepare. But Jesus is saying, don't bother, it's not for you. It's forbidden knowledge to know what must happen before what and what and what and what. It's not your business. Now, in case we don't know what happens after themselves, can we know the instant? At least give us an hour to know now it's going to happen. Jesus said, you will not even be told the day, you will not be told the hour when the kingdom will be established. How do we partner? So Jesus, what Jesus does is that he goes outside the knowledge that they are seeking, and then he gives them a new set of instructions. He unveils to them a protocol as to how it will happen. The reason why he said it is not for you to know is that as we begin to relate with God, we must understand the things that are self-running in God. Are you with me? There are things that are self-running in God that if a man adds his effort to it, you are going to disturb that flow in God. Rather, what we should build our labors around are the things that we are supposed to do. One of the faces of man in relating with God, apart from being sons, being servants, is that we are partners with God. And in every partnership, there must be specialization. God is saying, when it comes to time frames, I am the specialist. I'll just assign to you what you will do on your side. If you do your own, my own is ready. Amen. Verse 8, where Apostle read from. So the Bible says, but because if I say I will not tell you, you will feel cheated, you will feel disadvantaged. How can we partner with an event that we don't know its timing? Jesus said, don't bother. However, this is your responsibility. Ye shall receive power, and your reception of power will be after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So if anyone claims to have received power, but we need to first check what came upon that person. And the coming upon has been defined in the earlier verses as a baptism in the likeness of the baptism of John. It means the coming upon is an immersion. Are you with me? So you cannot have power on this side of the spirit world if you have not been immersed. Power is a gift that the coming upon of the Holy Spirit gifts. And this is not the first time, because many technologies that God would use to get his job done will first have been back-tested on a small ground. So the first time Jesus back-tested this was in Luke chapter 1, because Mary looked at him in Luke chapter 1, that should be verse 34. And after the angel had said these things that sounded like out of this earth, she said, how shall these things be? Because the last time somebody got pregnant in our area, it was because she knew a man. Now, seeing that I don't know a man, how will these things be? And it was the same protocol. The Spirit of the Lord shall come upon you. It means you will be immersed. And your immersion is going to occasion a gift. The power of the Most High shall overshadow you. That gives us a more organic expression of the process. So, a new atmosphere will be created. And within that new atmosphere, a possibility will be occasioned that cannot happen outside that atmosphere. It means that the witness needs to be well studied, because its possibilities cannot be fully known. Until you understand the potentials of this new atmosphere called the Holy Ghost, you cannot know the possibilities of a witness. Such words as being stranded or being confused are not the words of a witness. Because within the ecosystem that he lives in, the possibilities there are so different. I mean, it can be an inadequacy. But he will be functioning like one who is in heaven. Because the atmosphere of heaven is what they immersed him into. Let's go back to that verse. Let's go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. So ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. From that verse of scripture, there are two ways to characterize a witness. One, he is one upon whom the Holy Ghost has come, because he has experienced an immersion. So the fact that you said, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. The feedback of that statement, based on its mandate in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, is that you are saved. You are not a witness. Are you with me? Oh. If you write JAMB and you are given admission into the university, are you still in school? What are you studying? Okay, so engineering. Good. Are you an engineer? Okay. You know, some of our classmates, when we were in school, they used to, even in 200 level, they used to write engineer. Especially, I studied chemical engineering. We have an association, NSCHE or something. NSCHE, Nigerian Society of Chemical Engineers. So when we go for association meeting, we have like a senate. So when somebody wants to speak, say, this is Engineer Abdul, and I will laugh. That, do you know if you will graduate? So, you know, when we come to God, there are specific activities that birth specific realities. One of the challenges in ministry now is that we generalize possibilities, so that we feel that because he has started coming to church, he's saved. That's the first error. If he's not saved, he's not supposed to be in any service unit. You can't serve the kingdom without the life of the kingdom. If he's not causing trouble now, he's an IED, improvised explosive device. He's just waiting for the right time. He will explode. He will fight somebody, will abuse somebody, he will sleep with somebody. It's just time. Are you with me? If you put him in nurturing, the spirit that was on Judas will ultimately descend upon him, and he will use out of the offering to feather his nest. When you pick that kind of person, and then you begin to use words like, why did you behave like that? And you're a Christian. He's not a Christian. He just attends meetings. Sometimes people can attend for so long and they can become pastors. In the places where long membership becomes is rewarded by fivefold titles. So you can look at him there. He used to have a few dreams. Let's give him prophet. So those are the problems. I'm saying now in ministry, it's possible. I've also said it. Not to know Jesus at all. you've never met. I don't mean you have not labored in scriptures. I mean there's been no confession. People are born into Christian families and they keep running that way until they die. And they claim that they are Christians. To expect change or to send that man to represent Jesus will be error. If that man goes seemingly to represent Jesus, it's the church that sent him. It's not Jesus that sent him. Because the foundational gift that Jesus gives to everybody that he sends is his life. Are you with me? Okay. So, the Holy Ghost must have come upon the man that you are calling the witness. His possibilities in being able to represent Christ will be zero if the Holy Ghost has not come upon him. And the coming upon of the Holy Ghost is supposed to give him a possession. So when someone stands up to say, I'm a witness, we should tell him to run a list of the things that he has. I know he might have a shirt, he might have a suit, he might have a tie. But we should also check, does he have power? If he doesn't have power, then, Apostle, if you send that person to go and represent Jesus somewhere, he will come back a victim. If he doesn't know that he doesn't have power, if he knows that he has power, he will come back safer. You know, there are things he will not do. And so he will not look for trouble. If the sons of Sceva knew that their rating was very low, they will have talked to people and just mind their business and go away. Or they will have left that man. They will have done some very menial things and they will have gone. They will still be ministers. The problem was that they felt that they had skills. They did not understand that they are devils and they are devils. May God give you understanding. There are two ways to learn that statement. But the better way to learn it is the way I said it now. That way one survives for long. There are people who are sick. There are people who are dying. And every time you go to the hospital, we check their bodies. All these CT scan, the ECG, the ultrasound scan cannot produce why they are sick, but they are sick and dying. Sometimes it's because they collided with something whose rating was higher than them. I was sharing a meeting last week. I said, if you pass the current from that 11,000 kVA cable, that's the ones that run from cities to cities, and you pass it through a flexible wire, what happens to the flexible wire? The people say it will cut. Oh, okay. You don't understand it. The flexible wire will disappear. No, it can't cut. You will just see smoke. That's all. The flexible wire is gone. Even if it's a flexible wire in a fuse, the fuse itself, the glass, will just disintegrate. That's all. It's not the kind that we touch in the house and we shake. If you touch it, forget. Was it in 2014? I was on a prayer walk in Bomoshon. It's a sad story. He just finished training. And I was walking, I was praying, and the Lord said to me, cross to the other side of the road. It was in Sabo in Bomoshon. And he runs my life. So there was no reason to cross. Sometimes God explains. But when he talks and he's not explaining, if you are wise, first obey. So I crossed. He just finished training. There were two Hausa boys who were walking behind me. About less than a minute after I crossed, they became corpses. Because the 11 kVA wire broke. And it was a rainy day. You know the fellowship of current? They were black instantly. And so, you see, people were... I was dumb for minutes. Because I was like, it could have been me. May your ears hear him. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, not about me. It was not a call to speaking. It was a call to being. My departure is going to leave a gap. It's like a mother going on a mission and then she calls her eldest daughter and says, be a mother to these people. It's not a call to creativity. It's a call to accurate representation. Give them food when I give them food. Put them to bed when I put them to bed. You don't need to say anything. Just act like me. And it was going to be first in Jerusalem. When you are, there's a place of pioneering witnessing. It's a safe zone. It's a place among the brethren. Jesus also in this statement captured the reality of the day of scattering, where they will no longer all be in Jerusalem for many reasons, and then they will be flung into the regions of Judea, and for safety some of them will need to go into Samaria and ultimately to the uttermost part of the world. Can I announce it? We are just about 3 years from a day of scattering in Nigeria, and I found out that it's not likely that persecution will be the reason for scattering, because the church cannot survive persecution now. We are too homely. We have not been fully militarized, and so people will not come to church again. Some people have not resumed church since COVID. They are still online. And there's no persecution. They wake up on Sunday morning and now their mind gives them a picture of when to go to church and not go to church, forgetting that the online concept was just a contraption for a season. Forsaking not the assembling of the brethren, as some people do. It means in scriptures it was already prophesied that some people would do like that. And cheaply people fulfill scriptures. No persecution. What if a gunman starts at the door of the church? Some people will even be afraid to stream in their house in case they see what we're using our data to do. Let's forget about it. So it was all captured there to the uttermost part of the world. So that's my introduction to that scripture. Now let's start the class. Okay. If we look at Acts chapter 1 from verse 1 to 8, we see the backbone, like I said, which is Jesus laboring to ensure that kingdom expressions in accurate dimensions were sustained in the earth. However, the Bible shows us that, generally speaking, that every time God conceptualizes something in his heart, he begins to build a functionary around that concept. So that in Genesis chapter 1, when God's intention was to expand the boundaries of his kingdom, he initiated a colonization attempt. So he began to create earth after the order of heaven. What he did was to ensure that after everything had showed up in the earth, there was going to be a manager of this new dimension called the earth. And so what he did was that in Genesis 1:26, he began to bring forth words as to the establishment of the manager. Let us create man in our image and after our likeness, and then let us give him a tool of government. Let him have dominion. So that's a functionary that is equipped. We see two things in Genesis 1:26, that for every agenda of God, there is a functionary. There is a man who is put into an office, and that man must be an equipped man. Are you with me? So we can collapse this whole portion into a few lines to say that God had an intention, or Jesus had an intention, to establish a kingdom that was visible, and so he decided to give out the protocols of the margins of the functionary and equip that functionary. That's all we have from Acts chapter 1:1-8. You will see this thing replicated in scriptures, so that when Jerusalem was broken down and God wanted the rebuilding of Jerusalem and indeed Israel, what we saw was Nehemiah the builder. I know that calling Nehemiah a builder will be against your doctrinal persuasion, but in the day that God seeks to fulfill his intentions, he rechristens men. Are you with me? So what you'll have seen was Nehemiah the cupbearer. Some people call him Nehemiah the prophet, but he was a builder. In the day that Israel became estranged from God because of the marriage of Ahab to that daughter who came from a strange priestly line, that's Jezebel, what God did was to include a man in the mix, the man Elijah. Now, it was Elijah the prophet, but it was actually Elijah the revivalist, because his assignment was to restore revival. Are you getting the point I'm saying? Also, in the day that God, the fullness of time had come and God needed to show up on the earth in the likeness of a man, he needed a human womb. He needed a human womb. Jesus could have dropped out of the world, but it would have been hard to relate with him because he would have been excusable. To say, okay, why should I be holy like Jesus? Did he not come out of a world? But God wanted to implicate us that he's a man like you. So he had him go through, and Mary didn't give birth in 2 months. It was still a 9-month period. Are you with me? So that you know that just like your Lord was giving birth to you, he came as a man, you're also a man. And so if there's a call to replicate him, be his witness, the call is something that you can do. His life gives us a picture of his humanity, and his life also gives us a picture of why he became special. Acts chapter 10 verse 38, we'll still get there. Because what Jesus was exposed to that made him special, you will also be exposed to it. How? God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. You are also open for that anointing. And we expect that when you are thus anointed, like Jesus, you will also go about doing good. You also go about setting at liberty those who are oppressed of the devil, and it will be because God is with you. Are you with me? So God could not drop Jesus out of the sky. He had to look for a bearer. And so Mary's womb had to be implicated. This kingdom agenda cannot be fulfilled if God does not find men. And it is to that end that he begins to labor to see Madge a witness. It's impossible without the kingdom. If you want your house to be secured, what you need is a megad. You don't need a cook. Are you with me? So there is a rechristening that needs to happen in this season if the kingdom agenda will find fulfillment. I'm saying it is that the person in the choir understands that though they call you chorister, you are a witness. Because as a choir member, if you have not entered into witness expression, you cannot establish the kingdom. Are you with me? I know that there are some people, they used to call them prayer warrior. And it's not a good life. That on a soft side, that all of your life you are just fighting. I mean, that's the life of a warrior. Woman jambu bantie. Because there's a lot more in prayer. I found out that it's not all the time that God exposes us to battles. There are breathers in the life of the believer. If not, you will not know Jesus. Because you can't use that prayer you are using to pursue a witch to know Jesus. There are other dimensions of prayer. The dimension of prayer that really opens us up to the knowledge of the Christ is fellowship. That you come wanting nothing, asking nothing. You are just wanting the Lord alone. And then in response to your cravings, he begins to manifest himself. That's not warrior. That's a lover's prayer. But it's good. You know, there's a way it sounds. And all the people that are in, I'm not saying prayer warrior is not good. I was also in prayer band. They used to call us prayer warriors. You know, my parents go to a Yoruba church. So they have that egbe there. They call it egbe afadura jagun. God will help us. Most of the people in that group, in that their church, they are not praying. They don't even come for prayer meeting. So I don't know, maybe it's the warfare that is too much to why they're not coming anyway. But a prayer warrior cannot advance the kingdom if he is not a witness. So there is a foundational expression that we are all supposed to have, because what is allocated for kingdom establishment, the functionary that is given the power to be able to establish the kingdom of God, is a witness. He's not one who went to a school to learn. He's one upon whom the Holy Ghost has descended, and he has been given power. Somebody say power.
Power.
We're close to where we're going, but let me stay with my notes. Now, okay, I've said many things here that I wanted to say. I saw another principle here, and I think it's a principle we have to put in place before we now take three witnesses and we now begin to pray. It is that there are things that God does not reveal until a man begins to ask the right questions. God's kingdom agenda is like God's baby. He conceived it. He's so obsessed with it. And I believe it's not wrong to say that God is obsessed, because the Bible began with the face of God as a king. He was a creator, but he was a king creator. And he goes through all the pages of scripture still as a king ruler, a king priest, a king lawgiver, a king helper. That was how he moved through scriptures. He comes in the end to manifest as the king judge. Wipes out all that is darkness, then lays it out again, and then we start a new life. So he's obsessed about his kingdom. Now, this obsession is what has necessitated the emergence of this functionary. But Jesus was not going to talk to the disciples about being a witness until they asked him a question. If you check through all his teachings in the gospel, he taught extensively about the kingdom, but he didn't discuss this witness thing with them. It means that the communication of the consciousness of living as witnesses is a disciples thing. It's not a church attendance thing. Are you with me? Because they are not designed to receive it. People who come and have not signed in to become like the master should not be bothered about representing him. It's a waste of time. In church, we teach the same thing to everybody. But in Jesus' teaching ministry, it was not like that. Sometimes, so that you will not say you did not hear, he will tell you and give you and package truth in a parable. And the concept of a parable is that in hearing, you will not understand. You will see, but you will not be able to perceive. But at least God will no longer be guilty that he did not tell you. I was sharing with our people, I was teaching National Solutions, and I was telling them that one of the problems with those who dream is that they were told that dreams are revelatory. So if somebody wants to tell you a dream, he has a dream that he does not understand. He now says to you, in that revelation, does he not have a problem with English? I'll say it in simpler terms. So maybe you dreamt this night that you were walking on the road. You live here. Oh yeah. So that you were walking on the streets of Oye and a black bird just flew past you and you woke up. Maybe you woke up with a weight, and that burden is many times supposed to bring you, make you to probe more. You now want to share it with me, thinking that I'm a dream interpreter. That's what a lot of people believe. So you now say, sir, in that revelation, and I'm supposed to stop you. If it's a revelation, why do you need interpretation? Yeah, you shouldn't need interpretation for a revelation. Why do we need to interpret what has been revealed? It is because many of those dreams are sealed instructions. Are you with me? So a dream is a problem. That's a problem that needs to be solved. It was in that same manner that Jesus was teaching using parables. His disciples understood. So when they are on their own, they will now go to him and say, Oga, that thing that you shared, explain. And he always explained until they probed into why he was confusing everybody. Why do you always speak to us in plain language and use parables to speak to those people? And Jesus had to say to them that to you it has been given to know, to experience the unveiling of the mysteries of the kingdom. It means parables were mysteries. They are locked, they are problems. And there are many of them that have not been fully solved. There are many people try to teach parables and they still hang till tomorrow. A day must come where, as teachers, we become, we trust God for what you call a mother's mantle. Because a mother has an understanding of the progressive development of the digestive tract of the baby. And so, even though Eba is food, you don't give a one-month-old baby Eba. It will obstruct his digestive tract. Are you with me? So, that was how Jesus taught. There were things, even prayer, as important as it was, he didn't teach them. Until disciples felt, you should, there is, you don't have this thing in your curriculum. John taught his disciples. They must have seen John's disciples function in a particular way. And when they tried to check why they could do what they could not do, they found out it was because of their knowledge of prayer. Before we begin to discuss witnesses with the church, we need to have gotten ourselves, or the ones who want to hear it should have gotten to a point where they are wondering, is this all about us? If we think that we are still doing well, then we will not see a need to enter into another shape of existence. If we feel that, oh, on our campus, the light of God is everywhere. In our city, the light of God is everywhere. Because every time you see darkness, it's proof that a witness is involved. If people go to the coven in the morning, in the night rather, I don't think witchcraft moves around like that in the morning. If they go to the coven in the night, and you hear a cry when they break, somebody's child just died, that's the labor of a witness. Someone who, because of association, has come into the possession of power and can bring tears to people. My problem is there are too many people, too many witnesses. I mean, witchcraft needs a witness too. It's a, when we say witness, I've told you the backbone is kingdom. It means it's because there's going to be a clash of kingdoms. I've been sharing for the last 3 weeks. I shared in Lekki last week too. Because I saw some things. I went to a church in Lagos. I won't mention the name. It's a big church. And the minister is a national minister. And I was trying to draw them into prayer. But they didn't pray. And I became bothered. Because the church is very tush, very cozy rooms. The structure is solid. I don't want to talk about the structure too much. If not, you know the church. So, I'll pray in tongues, I'll pray in understanding. After a while, I had to import an atmosphere. So, they now started. And I said, you don't have problems. Oh, you know, because it was youth and teens. Say, all your parents are rich. You will go to nice schools. I said, but some of you right now, you are at a crossroad. You don't even know if you are male or female again. Their mentors were looking at me. They don't have teachers. They have mentors. it's good. I said, because, oh, so I now looked at the mentors and said, you don't know they have those problems. I said, if you import a 3-year-old witch into your house, you will be poor in 1 month. I mean 3-year-old. Unfortunately, we have witnesses in darkness who can cancel out things. We don't have builders. There are 50-year-olds who cannot repair a broken down home because they have not received the tools of Jesus. They have not been lectured that when you are saved, you are not saved to be yourself. You are saved to enter into the shape of another person. If we flesh out short verses as Galatians 2:20, it's essentially the communication of witness existence. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. It means my body is a gift to host the living Christ. And the life I now live in my flesh, in my mortal body, I live by the faith of. If I live by the faith of the Son of God, there's no faith where there's no hope. It means my life is supposed to be a fulfillment of the things that the Christ hopes for. I'm a witness. That's what Paul was saying. If we don't begin to teach those things, the average believer thinks that he's saved to be helped by God. And there's no responsibility. He's just supposed to keep doing anything that he feels he can do when he can do it. He does not know that the purpose of salvation is so that you can be recruited into an army. that we ensure that no matter how dark it is, the witness of God is still in the land. You don't know the strength of that light at the back of your phone until it's totally dark. While we're chasing being great, I'm saying that light, at its most infinitesimal form, is a threat to darkness. If you strike a match in the darkness, people will still see. Are you with me? Anyways, Jesus showed us mercy. I know some of you want to hear the end of the story. I said a lot of things. So I started not to teach simple things. So I taught fasting. And long fasting, long prayers. One of the mentors called me on Monday morning. He said, "We have a mentor's meeting today." I said, "Why?" He said, "The children are angry." "Why are they angry?" "The children are angry. They came back at us and said, 'You did not try.'" See the way Reverend is praying. Are you saying we can't pray like that? My teaching was supposed to be a 15-minute lecture. That the burden was that these children cannot endure teachings for 30 minutes. So one of our uncles in Lagos, he's a church member, had to say, see. "Reverend cannot come from Ogbomosho and teach for 15 minutes. 1 hour, 30 minutes. If they want to sleep, let them sleep." By the time I was a little into my teaching, some of them were weeping. Because suddenly now they were understanding the things that were mysterious to them. He said one of them called him and said, "Sir, I want to start fasting today." This way. So they had to crash their whole curriculum and restructure it. Now in every service, they must stretch in prayers for 30 minutes. They need to learn it. Because the rules on the street don't have fairness in them. There was a time you were trying to reach me. I was on a call. It was because the young man is a strong man, so I won't mention his name. But he's into business. He supplies items on behalf of a company. He's a pastor. Where he is a strong man. He resigned his job to focus on full-time ministry, and then they slam him an invoice that is owing 8 million. And he's wondering, how did I owe money? So he goes back and finds that, I supplied to that person 2 million. I have a few expired goods, made up about 3 million, but there's still an outstanding 5 million that he does not know where it is. It's not in his books. He knows the items are missing. He doesn't know, nobody steals, because he goes from store to the road by himself. Well, stay with me. What we found out, because as he was speaking to me, I was asking the Lord. We have not been able to track the person. That's how I spend my night before I travel tomorrow. But what the Lord said to me is that somebody bought from him, collected items from me. You know, salesmen, they give, they come back for money. He gave items to somebody, and the person activated the dimension that made sure that they could not remember him. Have you heard? The person said, "Oh, is that impossible?" I said, "What kind of strong man are you?" You don't know that people owe people and they forget that they owe. They just click delete and that's all. Help us, Father. Do I need to do anything? Okay. Okay, so Jesus had to wait. And I'm saying this because in this house, we need to be sure that we really want to morph, because it will, being a witness will change every aspect of your life. You will lose your originality, because a witness is not an original creature. You will live your life permanently as a replica of the Christ. You will first begin by asking yourself, what would Jesus do if you were here? After a while, it will become a subconscious thing that will function against your humanity, because you have been immersed into the Holy Ghost. If you meet a man who is drunk, that man expresses like one who has been immersed. His perspectives are different. His ideas are different. I've heard that these people who play Bet Naija, sometimes they wait for people who are drunk, so that they just tell him, "What numbers should we pick?" And he says, "Oh, that match." 4-0. It's because even strong drink has the ability to open the gates of a revelatory realm. Oh, they do it now. Some even go to mad people. It means in the realm of the mad people, they can pick lotto numbers and they will win money. Imagine. So we need to ask the question, why do we claim that the Holy Ghost is sitting, resting upon us? Our normal. Because if a spirit sits on you, you begin to express along the lines of the things of that spirit. The average believer claims yes, and our proof is tongues. Abi? Well, if you check your Bible, you'll find out that tongues, speaking in tongues, is not captured in the byproducts of that immersion. Because in Mark 16, the Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. So speaking in tongues is not the sign of a witness. And if you really want to argue it, you see, Jesus did not speak in tongues. So it means if you are doing that, you are not replicating the Christ. Are you with me? Oh, let's look at Mark 16. Let's do Mark 16 from verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Next verse. He that believeth and is baptized, not in the spirit now, but in water, shall be saved. So what gets people saved is gospel. If what you heard that made you believe is not the gospel, it means you are not saved. Are you with me? Because the commission was go and preach the gospel. So there's what we call counterfeit salvation. And somebody can become a bishop and his salvation is counterfeit. It's because he didn't enter well. He that believeth and is saved and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Next verse. Because many people will come and say, I heard the gospel, I believed, I'm saved. But we need to have a set of tokens, a set of signs to be able to validate your utterance or invalidate your status so that we send you back to salvation class. These signs shall follow them that believe. Believe what? No. Is believe the gospel. Are you with me? And there's a comma. So it's not those that believe in his name. It's those that believe the gospel. That's why I read from 15. These signs shall follow them that believe. The ones that believe, baptized, and were saved. So in essence, these signs shall follow them that are saved. In my name shall they cast out devils. It means they will use my character and my authority to cast out devils. Okay? They shall speak with not other tongues. Because Acts chapter 2 was speaking with other tongues. They were speaking human languages. It's a gift of the Spirit called diverse kind of tongues. Do you speak Spanish? When it descends upon you, you can speak Spanish and even add Portuguese to it. When you do that, it means that you are endued to do it. You are empowered to do it. That's what happened at Pentecost. The word here is not other tongues. It is new tongues. The word is kainos, fresh tongues. That's what we use in prayer. So it's a sign of believing. It's not a sign of being baptized in the Holy Ghost. I know what is often taught is, have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost with evidence or speaking in tongues? One day we'll need to research the age where that thing came from, because it must have been an error long ago that has been carried into modern day teachings. So, if you are a believer here, you shall speak new tongues. It means if you are not speaking, it's still your destiny. You will speak it. Good. What else can they do? Verse 18. They shall take up serpents. It means they shall deal with wickedness. And if they drink any deadly thing, the Bible said it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So healing the sick is basic sign that you are saved. Are you with me? Well, okay, let me leave it at that. In the ministry of healing, you know there are two kinds of sicknesses. There are the medical ones, there are the spiritual ones. So, many times this happens in the realm of the medical. Are you with me? In the spiritual, you will need power. And so many times you require a gift to be able to unlock what is there. Amen. I did all of this to show that the fact that you speak in tongues does not mean that you have been immersed. You find out that if you claim that kind of status, the only thing you can do that is not human is tongues. 90% of people who speak in tongues are like that. He doesn't look like Jesus. He doesn't act like Jesus. He doesn't occasion the realities of the Christ. He claims to be a witness because he's speaking a language that Jesus did not speak. He's not a witness. So we can't. It's the church that is committing so much to him. God cannot send him on an errand because he's not equipped for the errand. He has been given potent signs that he's saved, but that he's saved does not make him a witness. Remember, it is he who believes and is baptized. The one who will be a witness must have under his belt the possession of two baptisms. He has gone through water, which is the baptism unto repentance. And if you have not gone through the baptism of repentance, somebody asked me recently, will you make heaven? Yes. Because the essence of that baptism is so that it can symbolize that you have gone through the corridors of repentance. Are you with me? But if there's water, be baptized too. Abino. That's what the Ethiopian eunuch said. He said, see water. If there's water, except you live in the desert, be baptized. But you need a second baptism. Jesus taught this thing in too many places. When Nicodemus came to him, he said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Perception. Jesus was saying, the miracles I'm doing that is wowing you people is because I can perceive the kingdom. That's why I'm doing them. And then in verse 5, he further explains what he means by being born again. Except a man be born of the water and of the spirit. He's teaching two baptisms. He cannot enter. The word enter there is participate. Are you with me? How many of us have gone to a stadium before to watch football? Or in the house sport? You know those people that they don't do anything. They just clap, sorry, sorry. That's the only thing they shout. They are spectators. They are also believers who spectate. Because they have not come into the fellowship of that second baptism. There's no immersion. There's no equipping. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
When they see things that are beyond normal, there's a way they exit it. See, are you saved? There are some people who preach only to Christians. You know those kind of people. They only win one souls. Souls that have been won before. That's what they win. Once they see someone who has never been won before, they say, oh, you are not a Christian. Okay. So they go away. So I'm asking, what is evangelism? Is it sheep stealing? Sheep stealing is going to this church and then you basically win him into another church. Not that you win. So the kingdom is not growing, but church locations are changing. That's what is most common now. Our expectation for performance will be cut short if we have not gone through the protocol. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, not come into you. Because the relationship of the Holy Ghost with the believer is a duality. When you get saved, it comes into a marital relationship with your spirit. So that's into. But in the day that God wants to send you to represent the Christ, what it does is that it comes upon you. So on the first instance, when it comes into you, it comes as a quickening spirit. He gives you life. That's revival. And then he now comes to sit upon you so that he can empower you for an assignment. So there's work. Every time we speak about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it is a baptism unto work. It's like you give a farmer working tools. If I give you a 1 acre and say plow it, and I don't give you hose, I don't give you, is it your teeth you use to plow it? Even if you attempt, after a while. So there is, was the need of an equipping. A policeman is strong first because of his uniform. So God does not ordain witnesses without clothing them. Okay. So let's run another 20 minutes and I'll begin to pray. When I was trying to flesh out this issue about speaking in tongues, I said Jesus did not speak in tongues. It was not necessary for him to speak in tongues. That's why he didn't speak it. It's not that it's wrong. But I'm saying that there are things that Jesus did that the believer needs to begin to do, including speaking in tongues. See, I used to speak in tongues. So don't think that I'm speaking against speaking in tongues. That's not what I'm saying. I speak a lot of it. When I took off in Ogboma Shore today, I didn't speak to my wife for a long time. That time I spoke to you, I had passed Otu Ekiti. I had passed there. And it was around that time I spoke to her too. She didn't say, oh, you did not speak to me. I said, I was driving alone. So I decided, I didn't even put on the car radio for a long time. I just used that time to engage God. I traveled yesterday too. I went to pick them from Ibadan. From Ogboma Shore to beyond Oyo, I was in tongues in the car. You see, those isolated, that's why I love traveling alone. Because if somebody is there now, one of our brothers, they will use the opportunity to be doing this thing that disciples did to Jesus. They'll be asking me, sir, that sermon that you preached, no, let me be alone. When I travel and I'm away from home, I don't have my son to climb my head or anything this evening. Those are my times. I gain a lot of mileage in isolation. So, I speak in tongues. But I'm saying that we have built signs around the tongues. And even if you find out, you will see that based on Mark 16, 17, 18, what the average believer has, the only thing they have is tongues. He has been speaking in tongues for 15 years, but he has never successfully prayed for the sick and seen them recover. He says it's for pastors. But tongues is for every other person. So for this meeting, I'm saying that because tongues is compulsory as a sign, managing darkness too is compulsory. What else do we see there? Casting out devils is everybody's work. So Lamde called me, was it yesterday morning? I was at the bar. He said they brought somebody, they said the person has one spirit. Oh boy, cast out the spirit. If it takes you 5 hours, stay there. Why do you stay? Every time you speak in tongues, remember that there are many other things you can do. And if you don't attempt them, if you can't do it in 5 hours, tell the people to go home and come back tomorrow. The one that you can do, engage it. Are you with me? Engage the tongues. When you are high, you will cast out the spirit. And then you will know how to, from sleep, cast out a spirit. And I know it should be default. It should be default. If I say 1 plus 1, what's 1 plus 1? That answer is proof that you are human. You know, those are the simple things they do online. When you're on a web page, they say, okay, identify street light to show that. Because they expect that if they bring a dog to identify street light, the dog will not be able to. The intelligence is not that high. Sometimes they just say, copy this word or these letters and paste. It's basic intelligence. but it's proof that you are human. So if you can't write A, B, C, D, E, oh, it means that biology needs to give us a new set of words to define your identity. So the average believer is not even functioning with the signs of believing. And I'm saying functioning with the signs of believing does still not make you a witness. Because something needs to be imported. Something needs to be imported. Your humanity needs to be damaged so that you begin to run as someone who is under an intoxication. Your perspectives, your possibilities will be altered. There are things that should not look like problems again. And they are not things that you do because you are trying to do them. They should be normal. I was at Ilori. I was sharing with them on Sunday. It was first at Lagos that thing happened to me. My protocol officer came to me and said, "Sir, you have 2 days with us. Me and my wife will need to come and share some time with you." I said, "It's good. But only you." I said, "I don't want crowd around me. I have another meeting in Lori." He said, "Oh." When I got to the meeting that evening, and I looked at him and said, "God is giving you the child." The pastor now looked at me. "Has he spoken to you?" I said, "No." Mainly he said he was going to see me. I knew why he wanted to see me. And they've been married for like 4 years. And they're trusting God for the fruit of the womb. I said, "In 1 year, the child will come." In 1 year. So it looked like a one-off. But when I got to Ilori, my protocol officer in Ilori too came and said, "Sir, I've been trusting God." The guy even disturbed me because I said, "Sit down." He quickly kneeled down and said, "It's like 10 years. I've been trusting God to meet you." "See, I'm a regular person." "Sit down." The wife says she will not sit down when we eventually saw the wife. But it was the guy I first saw. And when he was all like that, I said, "Don't worry. People can talk to me. I'm not..." "Did you fall down?" These things are regular. But while I was when I got into the evening session, he was trying to drop a microphone on the altar. And the Lord said, "They are claiming a delay, but they don't have a delay. Tell him to employ the wisdom of Hannah, and that baby will come in 1 year." So when I got to the stage, I looked at him and said, "You are claiming a delay. But God said there's no delay. What he wants to give you is his own. They are children of men. They are also children of God, given back to by men. Now, if you mistakenly say, 'This is my child, this is how I'll raise the child,' God will fight you. He will tell you, 'This one is my own.'" I said, "So that's all that you need to do. Because you know that your wife's womb is supposed to be opened with God's child. Give the child to God. The baby will come." So when I now got to my hotel room, when they came, I said, "Come, how long have you even been married?" He said, "1 year and 1 month." "And you are claiming delay. You are going to mountain to pray." "Is it the day that you married that you want to be pregnant?" You know, if you don't know the timings of God, you can attract troubles into your life. You claim that what is not wrong is wrong. And then there are people who know how to make what is not wrong, wrong. They begin to feed off you. So, when I was sharing with two of our brothers who went with me, one of them was wondering, "Why are you like that?" And I'm saying, "It's not strength. It's a gift. That's how word of knowledge functions. It's a gift. When you begin to see gifts function like that, they are proofs of sending. When there's no gift at work, because it cannot send if you are not gifted. And if you exhibit a gift and you are not doing the work, it means that you are an unprofitable servant, because the gift is proof that you have been sent. Are you with me? So, there are many things that we see as special that are not special. They are just proofs that a man has been established. So, what I was saying to those young men were the things that Jesus will have said to them. That's witnessing. It means my body has become a gift to the Christ. A gift that gives him a face in the earth to bring forth his utterances. I was minding my business one of those days, and somebody called me and said, our daddy just died. I said, and I know that man. One day I went to preach in their town, and it was the man that carried me, was moving me around. It was not the boys' program, it was just a program. The son was somehow involved with the ministry. And I now said, Lord, how can he die? That man served me, even though he's like my dad. Shebu will have life. Give him life. And so they called me after about 2 minutes. Said the man is living again. He's alive now. So somebody now felt, you are powerful. Well, in a way, I am powerful. Because what I did was to share a gift. Are you with me? That's what the coming upon of the Holy Spirit does. I'm rounding up already. I'm trying to define the tool of the witness. It's called power. But what we call power is a set of gifts. It's a set of gifts. If you start, do you work somewhere? What do you do? Bank. Okay. Now, you have a laptop that you work with? Good. Did you buy it? Could they have employed you for that role without giving you something to work with? They just tell you, you can work your figures in your mind. And so, one of the proofs that they employed you is that they gave you a desk. The desk is a gift. But you can't go and write a list of properties and write desk. You can't write laptop. Because there are no things to boast about. In case me, I don't have desk, you are not better than me. The reason why I don't have desk is that I don't have your assignment. Are you with me? I'm saying that to make us know that, you see, power is like a vault. And it is a capsule of many gifts. What is allocated to you is given along the lines of what you have been called to do. Are you with me? In medical practice, doctors do referrals. In the body of Christ, everybody wants to be a one-stop shop. That's why we get into trouble. If God gives you word of knowledge, it means that when people have problems, when they come to you and they say, sir, I don't even know why we are poor. I've shared this story before. I went to preach in a particular school, and when I got there, I thought of consecration. If I teach you consecration, you will come with a sheet of paper or a writing material. Because one of the songs we sing is, I surrender all to you. And I think that song is false if we don't know all. So, on your sheet of paper, you will write a list. One shoe, one bag, two ties. Yes, because if you have two slippers, if you surrender it to him, there are places you won't be able to go to. Are you with me? You will need to borrow slippers to go to a strange place, because it's no longer your slippers, it's his own. Three vests. He wants you to sit at home. You want to go and watch Champions League this night, Abby? You will need to sit at home. Because you are not in charge. You are not in charge. You have implicated yourself with the things that you own. So, because he was, you know, there are these protocol guys that used to stand in front. So when I spied on his list, I saw one shoe, school uniform, one black trouser, two shirts, Bible, and maybe one or two other things. And I was wondering, why can somebody be in school of nursing? That was where I met Joy. Why can somebody be in school of nursing and this is all that he has? So when we're going, I now felt inclined to ask him, where's your phone? And when he brought the phone out, the phone was held in place by two very strong rubber bands. So I knew that this guy is plagued. there's a higher dimension of poverty. It's called wretchedness. God employed both of them in Revelation 3:18. He said, you think that you have no need of anything. He said, but you are poor, you are wretched. So I now asked him, why are you poor? No, because some people don't ask themselves those kinds of questions. Why am I weak? Why do they always press me every night? But I'm a Christian. I speak. No people who speak in tongues, they press them. Yeah. Because the answer is not tongues, it's power. And we have deceived ourselves for long that tongues is power. Tongues is a transactionary language. If you don't buy anything with it, you don't own anything. Are you with me? So I asked him, young man, why are you poor? You know it's insulting. But he resonated. He said he doesn't know, but he's poor. What's home like? You see, that list he ran is better than many people in his household. I now said, no, you can't be my protocol officer and your life be like this. You go to bed. I'll spend the night praying. So I began to ask the Lord, what is wrong with this boy? And God now gave me knowledge. That's how the gift functions. It's inside. So that's power. Knowledge said that when his grandfather was young, there were two friends. His grandfather needed money to take care of this boy's father and the siblings, and went to his friend and borrowed money. A time came, God smiled on his grandfather, and the friend who lent him money too wanted to borrow, to collect his money back. And the grandfather claimed that no money was given to him. So it became a village problem. They now said that, you are a wicked man. Shebi, not to his grandfather, to the other man. That if you want your friend to help you, tell him to help you. Why lie that you lent him money? So a disciplinary action was carried out in the village, and they thought that was the end of it. But that other man went to report in a court in the spiritual realm. This was the verdict. Did he give out money he gave out? Did this one lie? Yes. Because his family sustained poverty as a result of money not returned, this one and his generation will be poor. So the boy is suffering. And the boy loves Jesus. So when he came in the morning, I now said, this is what happened though. He started crying that he doesn't know the story. I said, call your mom. Take phone. Call your mom. The mom said, that when they were young, they heard that story. But this is the first time they are getting to know that grandpa actually collected money. What I just did now is a feedback, word of knowledge. But we have not solved the problem. So, we need another expression of power, which is called word of wisdom, to tell us what to do. Now, because there were not many people around, and that's how power operates, if the gifted is not around, you can go back into the Holy Ghost. Because the Bible says that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. It means there are times where there's no gifted man, the Holy Spirit can creep upon any believer and manifest that gift in that person. Are you with me? So in prophecy, you have the gift of prophecy. You also have the spirit of prophecy. In spirit of prophecy, you don't need to be a prophet. He just climbs on you and speaks through you. You don't even remember what you said, because you are like a man who is drunk. You can say, tomorrow, the dollar we exchange at 1 naira. You know, some of us are praying that prayer. Some people who have dollars in the bank are not praying that prayer. They are wishing that it goes to 1 million. So I now told the guy, give me some time. So because I know that there's a possibility of embodying another layer of power, I now asked the Holy Spirit. He now told me to send the boy back home. So I gave him 2,000 naira. This 1,000 is how much is transport to your village? Say 400 naira, take 1,000. So you buy something on the road. But this second 1,000, buy bread or buy plantain. Go and give to that family. When you get there, tell them that that thing that happened, the grandpas are dead. I'm from so-so family. We borrowed from you. I don't have what to give. But please, forgive us. When I saw that guy at this JCF meeting they used to do in Ilorin, when I saw that guy after 2 years, he didn't look poor at all. I'm sure it's out of the country. Because the last thing I heard was that it's processing UK. So sometimes we need to do what they call referral. That if you know somebody around who has another gift that you don't have, you will say, okay. You call your friend and say, there's this person. I just downloaded the problem, but I don't know what to do. You now send that person to that person. They'll use another gift to help the person. All of us can manifest all streams of power. It means we can manifest all gifts of the Spirit, but we are not allocated all gifts, because the same Spirit divides himself as he will. But if there is a need for a gift and the gifted is not around, we can manifest any of the gifts. It is by these manifestations that the witness of the Christ is established in the territory, so that there's no hiding place for darkness. If we unveil why people are plagued by word of knowledge, we know what to do by word of wisdom. And if we need the force of the Spirit of faith, we will bring faith down on it. If we need the strength of the prophetic, the man with the gift of prophecy will bring forth utterance. In case the person is sick, maybe that's what the enemy did. The gift of healing is released with an S. Abi? It means that within the healing is a faculty, it's not a department. It means they are specialists. There are some people that is only deafness they can handle well. So every time you see somebody deaf, you post the person to them. It's like a medical specialist. Some people are only bone specialists. Some people are only eyes. To show the diversities of the Spirit. It is that way so that the local assembly is unified in establishing the witness of the Christ. Because if you are everything, you will not need him. But in using your gift, you will enter into a problem. You will hang. Apostle Gideon sent me to NCCF Delta about 5 years ago. And when I got there, I had prayed. People were hearing abnormalities, had their ears open. The first time I saw somebody deaf here was in Akumba. I was even minding my business. Jesus, I was walking off the stage and I ran into a solid structure. It was like a wall, like a pillar. I hit the thing and I went back. What is this one? And then God told me, there are people with hearing problems. It must have been like an angel. Like that. Sometimes they come as solid structures. Sometimes you can walk across a stage and you feel varying temperatures. Now you got to this place and this place is hot. This place is another thing. It's because there's a being that your eyes is not allowed to see. Are you with me? You know, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot. The word is passive, so it means he has 5 senses inside it: sight, hearing, taste, feeling, and then smell. So sometimes we sense them by smelling. Oh, there's something here. So they now brought a lady to me. This lady was trying to take a bath in a bathtub. No heater was on. It was just normal cold water. Filled it up and sat inside it. When she rose, she found out that she could no longer walk. Her bones on the legs were twisted from lying down and getting up. She had become totally blind and her hearing had disappeared inside that one bowl of water. Well, it was shortly after she finished university, and so she had been enrolled for youth service before this mishap happened. So what her parents did was to export her to Delta State, still for youth service, in that shape. Now she registered as one who was handicapped. When I saw you, the complexity first staggered me. That where do you start from? Walk, sight, hearing. So I went around the area of specialty and I put my hands into her ears and commanded the deafening spirit to go out, and then she began to pick sounds. So I now said, okay, let's help your eyes too. So we tried. After a while, she began to see colors. But it took us time. It took almost like 20 minutes. The president will say, sir, maybe you should not worry. I say, no, no. Why I was waiting is because I know there's a possibility. If Jesus was here, will it have been impossible? If I can't do it, I won't run away. I will stay until I can lay hold on what will make me do it. Because miracles have many gates. There are miracles of power, but there are also miracles of mercy. There are also miracles of access. God, what are you doing? This is what I'm doing. This is what God is doing. The person has a miracle. There are miracles of, oh, Jesus, that son of David, had mercy upon me. That's another miracle. That's a miracle of mercy. Are you with me? There are many of them. So, one, we shall walk. When we have said, come out, eyes be open. After a while, we say, God, can you show us mercy? it will work. So, after a while, she could make out things, and then she could read a few things at a distance. But this working thing. So I picked my phone and called one of our brothers in Kaduna. You've heard his name before, Apostle Lawal Suleiman. I said, Lawal Suleiman, cripple walking is cheap for you. Can you pray from there for this girl? That girl walked. She's special. Say, pray from there, pray from there. He's a man of God. Say, pray. We're in church now. He walked. So, God gives it that way so that you don't function like you are total. But what is given to you is strong enough a proof that this is how Jesus will have functioned. The call of a witness is a high calling. It is an additional clothing upon your basic expression as a child of God. So, not lying does not make you a witness. Are you with me? A life of purity is not what makes you a witness. They are lesser matters. So when we discuss being a witness, it's a summons to those who have passed those basic things. If we come to a witness class and we are saying, don't fornicate again, we are wrong. Because even those who have stopped fornicating can still not cross. They need that empowerment. Are you with me? It was a discussion that happened not on the field of preaching. It was not captured in the Sermon on the Mount. The name that Jesus was calling his disciples had morphed. They were no longer just disciples. They had become apostles, those that they had an intention to send. So it was pro-kingdom advancement that the witness emerged. Not kingdom establishment, which is the first phase of kingdom labors. That when Jesus comes into your heart, he makes your life a kingdom zone. He cancels out the iniquity. He exchanges how you speak. He exchanges how you look. He works your perspectives so that when we look at you, we know that your life is an exchange life. But when he wants to send, he wants to expand what he has done in you. Through you, he comes, and then he clothes with power, and men begin to function by this set of gifts. 3 verses of scripture, and I'm done. We want to, from the lips of witnesses, take a look at the life of Jesus. I'm just going to take 3 witnesses, and we're going to be on our way. The first we want to take. It's the testimony. Should I take this one? Of John. John 1:33. John chapter 1, verse 33. Now, this is John bringing witness or testifying, let me leave it that way, about Jesus. It is so that we understand what a witness looks like. That's why I chose this one. He said, and can we go from verse 32? Help me, Holy Ghost. And John bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, not as a dove. Are you with me? And it abode upon him. There are 2 different things. Like a dove is John is employing the way a dove descends. If he had said as a dove, it means that, are you with me? That what he saw was a dove coming. So it's in the similitude of the descent of a dove. The descent of a dove is gentle, but it lands in firmness. So it can give you a picture into how the Holy Spirit rests upon people. It comes with gentility. It means he does not force himself on people. You subscribe, that's why he comes. Willingness is what brings him. But when he comes in government. Are you with me? Good. You know people who do this crosswalk? You know what they call crosswalk? If somebody drinks very well, if he's going to that door, he will have hit these walls about 8 times. He goes like that. The person took alcohol and put it in his mouth willingly, not knowing that what he's drinking has governmental realities. That if you drink to a point, you will not be able to control how you walk again. You can't even plan around getting home. Anywhere the thing stops you. Abina, it can be a gutter. You will lay your head. It can even be on a field. You sleep in the similitude of Jacob. Arrange stones together and sleep. When you wake up in the morning, you are wondering, why am I here? That's the government of wine. So, it must descend like a dove and it abode. That's the key here. It remains. It means that man by willingness has created a throne because he's a king that is come. Next verse. So, John said, I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him. That's what the prototype looks like. So that Jesus' demonstration of power was not seasonal. Because the witness is not a seasonal witness. Once you are activated, if we come back after 50 years, you should be like that. And the protocol to sustain that is that whatever comes upon you must remain. It means that you subscribe for him to come, you will maintain your subscription. Like some people put their data at, what do you call that thing? Auto-renewal. You must find a way of recovering that protocol. Every time you think that the consecrations he brings to you have been spent, there are gifts that they only stay very active if you have a sustained prayer life. So you will need to build prayers, knowing that the intensity of the gift begin to dwindle. That maybe he sent you as a baptizer. It means you have the ability to cast the energies of God on people. That normally you have to lay hands on people, and then he shows you the way of prayer. If you have laid hands on 1,000 people, even you will need hands to be laid on you. But you can impact 1,000 people by whispering, receive. Are you with me? It's the same thing two of them are doing. They are just layers of intensification. But what creates intensification is adherence to consecrations. He will give you a way of sustaining strength. Are you with me? This is Miracles Brother. Okay, people look at me. So, that's how it works. So, remains on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. So, he's giving us a picture of what the prototype is. That the prototype did not have a broken relationship with what empowered him. He came and he was comfortable for the Holy Spirit to stay. One of the prayers we need to pray is to plead that God shows us the path with which we can create comfort for the Holy Ghost. He's not comfortable in every believer. There are things that still stem out of the life of the believer that the Holy Spirit is just patching up. So he uses more of his energies to maintain his existence inside you, so that in the day of performance, he cannot do too much. Let's take another witness. Let's go to Acts 10:38. That's Peter. So the first witness was from John the Baptist. The second is from Peter. Then we look at the testimony of John, and then we begin to pray. The testimony of John is captured in Peter, is Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. What this verse tells us is that the same protocol that we would use to come into power is the same protocol that gave Jesus access to power. It was first the Holy Ghost and then power. Who went about? This is the life of a witness. Doing what? What Jesus was doing was acts of benevolence. That's what he was doing. So what Peter is introducing to us is Jesus the benevolent. What do I mean by benevolent? If you say somebody is benevolent, what does he mean? It means he lavishes his resources on people. That's the life of a witness. If the devil shows up there, you cancel him out. If he shows up there, you cancel him out. You are not giving the devil any breathing room. In 1 John 3:8, the Bible says, "For this cause was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the work of." It means everywhere the devil shows up, the manifestation of the Christ cancels it out. So even when Jesus was going to somebody's house to do something, on the road, the one who touched the hem of his garment still came into a reality. The house he could not go to because he was going to somewhere else. He said, okay, your servant leaves. And in the same moment, the servant was well. Even the guy on the tree came down. Because today, salvation enters your house. It means on one trip, he can accomplish many realities. Because the fullness of the power that he hosted gave him the privilege to share. So the Bible says he was going about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's what the prototype looks like. So if you're on a bike, you shouldn't leave the bike man like that. It's not every bike man that is a bike man. They are graduate bike men. They are artisan bike men. That is a bricklayer by trade. But disfavor and the absence of a helper has sentenced him to penury. So that he can feed his wife, he rides a bike. And I hope you know that bike riding is not good business. I'm not talking about the financial thing. The health hazards are terrible. When it's cold, very soon now, when you ride the bike, what will you do? You will hang behind the bike. Who is covering the bike man? It means the man is open to breathing disorders. In our town, in Ogbomoso, bike men love rain because the price of bike inside rain is high. So they will walk in the rain to earn more money. And when the sun comes out, the sun dries the water on their body. You know how you shiver. Many of them have breathing disorders. It's not something to do for 5 years. That when your children are looking for what to do, you now say, come and hear it, bike walk. It's not good. So the reason why Jesus allows you to climb bike sometimes is so that you can use power to alter destinies. As we are going now, you don't have it in your pocket, but you are not the first who don't have enough money in your pocket. Because our elder brothers in the faith, when they got to the gate, the beautiful gate, they said, silver and gold we have none, but such as we have. Because you are not a witness if you don't have the kind of things that witnesses have. Give I unto you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So you can touch the man and say, such as I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you are favored. And they see you after a while, and they are riding in the car. You see, how did it happen? See, I just met one person and my life changed. I was trying to catch a flight to Owerri. The Uber guy picked me, I think around Excellence Hotel. It was a Toyota Camry. And the guy was playing music. I won't tell you the church in Lagos. He said, you need to listen to my pastor. He says, an outstanding pastor. And I tapped his tie in the car because I sit in the front. I said, bro, you have a problem. Let's deal with your problem. It's not sermon money. He said, no, you have not. I said, you cried this morning. He looked at me. When you dropped your son in school, you cried this morning. And there are thoughts in your heart to let your wife go because you think it was an error that you married her. You married her to suffer her. Tell me the story. He said, even this car we are in, they may pick it up in 1 month because I've not made enough money. Our rent is due, 500,000. When I took my son to school, I know he will soon be out of school because there's no money. And I think I married my wife to make her suffer. And I told him, I said, see, I don't have money. But within the next 2 weeks, you will pick somebody to the airport like this. And that person will be your helper. It didn't even take 2 weeks. Because we exchanged phone numbers. When we got to the airport, we drove into the car park. And then we held hands and prayed for almost an hour. He was not even listening to his eloquent pastor. His pastor is eloquent. His pastor has traveled out now. So you know the pastor in Lagos. He has been out for a few years. So the pastor is a very intelligent pastor. But that was not his need. He needed to meet. He didn't need words. He needed power. We will save more as witnesses than talkers. That's why we must plead with him. So tonight we have come into another day of power. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. And glory to God, that Holy Ghost is not in heaven. He's here. When he came at Pentecost, he came to ensure that this distribution of the power of God will be sustained in the earth realm. There's an old song that we used to sing. The verse is, there is a redeemer. The chorus says, thank you, O my Father, for giving unto us your Son and for living your Holy Spirit till your work on earth is done. As long as there is work to do, the Holy Spirit will be here. And his assignment is not to do the work, it's to empower the men that will do the work. Oh, this was Peter's testimony. But John the beloved, that young man who was very close to Jesus, also had a testimony that he captured in John chapter 1, verse 14. Because John studied Jesus, he saw his potencies, he saw the demonstrations of Jesus, and he decided to compile for us his definition of what the things that made Jesus special. He said, John 1:14, he said, the word, that's how he began to speak of Jesus. And I've said many times that the word here is not your Bible. Because in the beginning was not the Bible. Your Bible was not with God, and your Bible was not God. The word logos here means a concept. John is saying that concept which was with God, that concept which was God, was made flesh. It means was clothed with flesh. Was speaking of the incarnation. And dwelt not away from us, but amongst us. He said those things to establish that, you see, my witness is solid. Like Apostle said, because we didn't hear stories. We touched him. I even put my head on his chest. He dwelt amongst us. However, John said, and we beheld his glory. There were transmissions that came out of him. There was an advertisement that his life gave off that we saw. Every true witness is ordained to certain advertisements. That after a while, you will have gotten a reputation along a line of power distributions. Let me not go that far. If you want to power this whole complex, you don't need 10 generators. Abi, you just need one generator. But it will not be a better pass. Because if you connect a better pass, it will attempt it. What you hear is and it will go off. Every attempt to switch it on will go off. Abi, but there are some generators that just and then that's all. All those mechano generators, you just need one. Are you with me? So that generator has become what that generator uses to advertise its capacity. Is that it was all dark, and suddenly all the lights come on the same time, all the ACs come on the same time, so that when we want to power everything, we will not be looking for options. We know where to go to. That in the house where you live in, if something goes down, they know who to call. That's how long ago we used to acquire the name pastor. It's not suit, because we couldn't afford them, but they knew that our room was a solution room. Even when I was living in my former house, many times I could not afford, before I got married, because it's marriage that God used to bless me. I could not afford to eat before. You know, you can preach from morning till night on a Sunday. When you get home, I'll just drink water and lie down and sleep. But my wife came with help. You'll marry your own. So one day we on our street, there used to be a zone. If you have a phone, you don't switch it on. You keep it in your pocket. Your phone must not ring there. The bush is thick. It was a constant thing for people to be waylaid, their phones to be stolen. I almost experienced it. Until a scripture began to work in my heart. Here I come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, unto an innumerable company of angels. And I began to hear footsteps run back into the bush. And God told me, you are in a great company. So for me, Zion was mobile. And those men saw what I didn't see, so they ran away. But this my neighbor, he just came to stay with his aunt. He was unfortunate. His phone was like the phone of that our brother that has traveled out now. His phone too was bound by rubber band. But you know, the people in the bush don't know. They just saw light. So they came, tried to collect the phone from me, wrestled it with them, and they split his head. It was a very deep cut with machete. Unfortunately, I think when they saw the phone, they trashed it. So we were able to recover the phone. He was hospitalized for like 4 days, and then he came back home and they were celebrating the miracles. And then that night, I can't remember what I was doing, maybe I was frying something. And I heard, "Pastor, Pastor, Pastor." And in that house, I don't disturb them with prayer, so they don't even know what I do. They thought I was a teacher. "Pastor, Pastor, Pastor." I said, "What's the problem?" The boy, they didn't know that even though the wound was closed, he was bleeding into his brain. So he passed out. Medically, he was dead. The sisters are nurses. So they called me and I ran there. I said, "What happened?" He said, "Is that crying?" "Oh, no." You know, the father of Jesus, it was said that the father had life in himself. And he has also given to the son to have life. But there's something about the person of the Christ. He's benevolent. It means he can share life. So, Lord, you didn't give us life alone, that they may have life and the abundance is so that you can share and still not run low. It means you have life enough, but he gave you excess so that your cup can run over. So it was the run over that woke up the guy. He's married now and he's fine. But from that day, if anything blinks in that house, they will knock my door, because that situation gave the opportunity for the glorification of what was within. So John is saying, we beheld his glory. The challenges around and the way he solved them got him a reputation. And that glory was the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. What it means when you say somebody is begotten is that when we match DNAs, they are exact replicas. What Jesus showed up to be in the earth was exactly God. If you don't see it in Christ, then it's not in God. That's the privilege that a witness is supposed to have, that is helped by the administration of the Holy Ghost into mirroring God. What was in the glory? Because they dissected it. John must have gone to a spiritual lab whereby certain spiritual tools were able to characterize what was there, and they found out that it was full of grace and truth. So when we speak of power, we can also define power outside the economy of gifts. We can define it as the fullness of grace and truth. So what is grace? what is grace, so that we know the tools of the witness. Grace is often called unmerited favor, and it is rightly called unmerited favor. Fortunately, grace is a two-sided coin. On the first side of the coin, grace, according to Titus 2:11, says that the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. You go to Ephesians 2:8, the Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved." It means the first side of grace is what we call saving grace. And it is saving grace that is referred to as unmerited favor. You could not have done enough to be saved. But you see, the man that God saves him to a purpose. And what saves him must become the new operating system that runs his life. So if you go to Hebrews 12:28, the Bible says to us, "Say, seeing that we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace." And that grace is not so that we can be saved, it's so that we can serve. So it's a tool for service. It's called enabling grace. So that's what grace is. As enabling grace, grace is what we call the supernatural abilities of the Christ. Not supernatural ability, but of the Christ. If God wants you to function like Jesus functioned, he must give you the exact tools that Jesus had. So that's the second side of grace. So when John checked, John found out that there was saving capacity in Jesus. But beyond saving capacity, there was also service capacity. That's what he saw as grace. But it was not only grace, he also saw truth. And on the first side of truth, there is a legal side of truth, which is the compendium of the principles of God. Jesus lived a principled life. He understood the kingdom so well that he lived his life along the lines of the rules of the kingdom. So that's the first thing that the witness possesses as truth, principles. If we take offering now, if somebody drops 29, you can say that of all the currencies in the world, but Jesus taught us that in the kingdom, what makes your offering greater is the value of your offering. Because somebody's total value can be 29. If that's all that person is worth and that person drops it, that 20 naira is worth more than 20 million that came out of 40 million. Because in this kingdom, the highest order of giving is the giving of self. Romans 12. So this is your true act of worship, offering yourself. So if your offering is equal to you, it means you have given more than everybody. That's principle. Jesus began to wash the feet of his disciples to show that in this kingdom, greatness is service. It's not rulership. Principles. That's how he lived. That when Thomas doubted him, he didn't throw Thomas away. He came visiting not to teach a new thing. He came visiting to show Thomas by infallible proofs that he was alive. Put your hand inside the hole of my hand. It means bleed my wound. Do it on the side. I will feel pain, but snap out of unbelief. Believe Thomas. When he rose from the dead, he sent to Peter. I said, Peter, sent to Mary rather, tell my brethren and Peter that I am alive. It was a principle that the kingdom labors to get one, even when it has gotten all. So you see, the principles in the life of Jesus. But that was not the only thing that John saw as truth. The other side of the coin when we speak of truth is reality. Now every kingdom has realities. Nigeria has reality. I found out that on the road, there are many police checkpoints. Many. And if I'm driving alone and my family is not in the car, I like to explore the vehicle. I was telling somebody last week that our speedometer is 240. And people run at 100 and they say that they have tested the car. No, you have not tested the car. If you are moving at 100, at least you should be able to attempt like a 3/4. Yes! See, before that car came, at least I know for Benz, Benz, they used to run it on the bench for hours before it comes out. So your car has been proven that if you move at 240, you are good to go. Yes, it's because our roads are bad. Because if you attempt 160, you can see a hole that you can swim inside it. So I saw this policeman, they just put a log on the road, and the man said, "Oh, guy, you want to fly?" I say, "It's what this country has become. When you are moving around in the bush where there's no body, and you are driving alone, you are not looking for mangoes on the road. Even if your car spoils, you will park and run. you abandon the car and just go away." One of them was the one that made me hasty. When I entered Ekiti State, a guy stopped me. He said, "Oh, guy, you're driving alone. Do you need escort?" Is this place enchanted? So I had to increase my speed. I'm saying that speed is because of the reality of the country. The reality of the place where you live has the ability to regulate what you do. But just as we have geographical realities, we also have realm-based realities. That if you go home and they are crying at home, you shouldn't get home and they continue to cry. Because you are a bearer of reality. You have the ability to change their fate. So my dad will call me. We have not had patients in our hospital for 3 days. And I'll say, "Are you strong?" Say, "We need to rest." I say, "Rest today. Rest tomorrow. From 2 days' time, you will walk till you are tired." So they walk for... The patients don't need to be manufactured. They are always sick people. But they have many places to go to. They can come here if there's reality. Are you with me? That's what Jesus was. That every time he moved, he had the ability to change the shape of things. He was sleeping in the boat, water was pouring in. The disciples were afraid. I'm sure it must be Peter that woke him up. He won't push him. He must have slapped him out of his sleep to say, "Ah!" You know, you can picture it, what a Yoruba man would do. "Ah! Jesus must have woken up and he was like, water. Because they were already pouring back, they were fetching the water in the boat and emptying it so that it would not sink. Jesus was sleeping because geographically they were in the same boat but in different places. In his own realm, it was peaceful. So what he did was that he brought the reality of his dimension of existence. He said, "Peace, be still." All he did was to open a gate to allow that air coming. I'm saying that is the witness. One of our brothers just joined somebody. They've been pursuing a contract for almost like 1 year. And that guy joined. He has not done 2 weeks. They sent me yesterday their contract papers, a foreign contract. They had signed. I told my wife, as I told you, that guy, this brother with favor, has been struggling for long. And I keep saying there's something on your life that can turn around any place that you come into. It's reality. That was Joseph. Said, "God blessed you for, God blessed Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake." It means that people have their own atmosphere. They regulate where they go to. It's the strength of a witness. Around them, oppression cannot survive. People don't fail around them. That's what God wants to make us. That's the life of a witness. And I'm saying that this was John's feedback from the life of Jesus. And when we checked what was responsible for the advertisements around his life, we found out that he was actually full of grace and truth. We want to pray. These things that we see in the life of Jesus were tokens of his sending, and in the day that he was going to begin to summarize his assignment in the earth, he said to his disciples, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you. If you had to bring me into the fellowship of the Holy Ghost and power just so that I could bring forth his essence in the earth, then the same way Jesus will not send anyone in this building without the same administration. What we want to ask for is something that is legitimately ours. I know we have cried, send me tonight. We want to say, send me with power. You can pray now. Every true witness is given a quantity and a strain of power. I will not be powerless. Send me with power. I am willing to be clothed. I am willing. Me heaven o sato kami me no te kai telo mata. Rabaka sante me motai. Bentas ton telu saite. Barutias kabo matoko banto kabodia. Mai kasai loperela te kami mi botendos. Meveno matakaita rataka baseta papapate rekotomes kabanta baika ratabashaika bote rabashila dabai ratababasantoba botiama bosibaya ratababe balanta vina mete babonda sha britos taitamo bretes kapaba lokamata binata they come me bebe bakaba shato kashotema mabreka basofetale mete We have 2 more minutes to pray. Ivara Shekita Babate. What we seek is animation. Animation. That he will press us into power. That he will press us into power. Ayata barata siriata. Eiloto me brato. Rata baselo mampe savinate. Oh, kaisolo mo kato sentomi eka. Eya mi korele reko zizi kaka baba hatele zakiataba. Press me into power. Oh, keep my feet. Let me go deep down in the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost. Ayami mokai me salemate. Press me into your spirit. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we are praying. Now we've just prayed for another 3 minutes, but hear this. If you have been baptized in water, what that immersion does is that it changes what clothes you. You are still wearing your garment, but your garment now carries all the character of water, the design. For the endowment of the spirit is that a man be clothed. We want to ask him to clothe us, and his hand will begin to become strong in the house. We seek to be clothed. Wear me, your spirit. Wear me. Ay-ya-ya-ya-ya-ya-ya. Bobo-shelebo, teti-santa-babo-ta. Baro-no-tome-ma, tome-ma-salaba-bamba-toli-ata-bakada. Ay-gavala-maki-bela-kombe-bielate.
Wear me your spirit. Let the Holy Ghost be the garment that I wear. Finaya Sida Bahayata. Don't leave us the way we are. We were shaped for power. We were shaped for power. Sena memo tanamaro se kuprokoto rata kapa momo mota kasita.
Okabo baba baba kababoria sata baboria kapa baba kanta bote bante kebe baba kame no tabo bashati la tomano ti anta base.
Where me? A witness is clothed. A witness is clothed. Cloth me.
Yo kakome toho seku kukuta la kaba babote bamba baba lopa mimano kabre dulo no setaya rata maya.
Show us mercy and clothe us tonight
in Jesus name we are praying.
Okay, so I will praise a very simple prayer and his hand will descend upon the house. Amen, 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 amen. Now, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus. We come in the consciousness that this is a day of sending. The desire in your heart is to see men rise out of this meeting who, not by effort, but by the workings of the Spirit, will become representatives of the Christ. We understand that when functionaries emerge in the secular dimension, they emerge in uniforms. Uniforms that provoke compliance, and we understand that what the witness wears is power. We ask of you tonight that you show us mercy. And that in this building you will begin to clothe us. Clothe us to express the capacities of the Spirit. Clothe us to express the supernatural abilities of the Christ. That every one of us, oh God, is a reality bearer. Potent to change situations, potent to affect atmospheres, potent to bring the kingdom of God to bear over what the enemy is doing. We thank you, Father. We ask that you rain upon us all. You will also give us a sign. And the sign will be that you will cause your hand to rest on at least 10 individuals in very tangible forms. Yes. Okay. So the Lord is saying to me that of that 10, we will have 4 of them who will be clothed with the capacity to heal sicknesses and diseases. So there's an administration of the gifts of healing. Not the gift, but the gifts. These individuals will operate with diversities. 4 individuals. There will be 2 individuals who will be gift clothed in the capacity to operate the gift of the word of knowledge. 1 of them will also be gifted the word of wisdom. Thank you, Father. There are 3 amongst them that will be gifted to operate in the gift of faith. The gift of faith. And the last person will be the gift of prophecy. Now, this is not all that God will do, but these are the signs that he will give us. We have opened our hearts. If you are in the upper room, then you'll be reached. And tonight, you are privileged to be in another upper room. So, Lord Jesus, we ask that that rain begins to fall and you help me find those 10 individuals that you want to give to us as a sign. Holy Ghost. Now, please help them so that they don't get injured. Help them so that they don't get injured. I'm going to try to count from 1 to 10, and the hand of the Lord will be stronger in the building. Holy Ghost, join me after 10. Join me after 10. Holy Ghost, so help me find the 10 as you clothe every one of us, including me. 1. From my left to my right, from the front to the back, let your hand intensify in the building as you begin to wear us these garments of power. 2. Holy Spirit. 3. 4. 5. 6. 7. Holy Ghost. 8. 9. Okay, now 10. So you can begin to play. Just be open to him. There is a communication of supernatural ability. Oh, sonemo te la kovrahade, babunu sante lo brahikia batahai. Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus, etada da bo koberada, fime kaba metims kominandreski hatola taba. Meba mote naste tabruna tataniva vai katan sabenatia. He's clothing. Most my friends with the gifts of healing are being clothed right now. They are being clothed right now. The hand of the Lord is becoming stronger. It's becoming stronger. I see a young lady being gifted that double gift, the gift of the word of knowledge and the gift of the word of wisdom in the same body. Jesus, show me that young lady that you are double gifted. Clothe her wherever she is. Let your hand descend upon her. Let your hand descend upon her. Let this garment of power be worn upon her. Somba bahaila, bela mama sababala tombe barila baskebaha. Oh, ikomi matoka siya barada teata. Now the gift of prophecy begins to descend on a brother. I see a flame around here. I see a flame around this room. And it becomes stronger. Holy Ghost, let it descend and let it implicate. Let me bring this brother. Como vivi shataba copre do season. Los Santa se sufre cofanas. It rests. In the name of Jesus. Agamomo kababash. Levila sakabeto. Membros abatava missi labantes. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Oh Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You can stop praying now. Let's just allow the Lord. Yes. At Pentecost, it was the flames of heaven. So send us the flames again. Send us the flames again. Send us the flames again. Let us burn for you. Let us burn for you. Now, outside this distribution, I'm seeing God doing something for someone. Oh, that's two of them now. These flames are designed to restore your passion for the things of God. You came into this building, you have been struggling to follow through. You know what to do, but fellowship has been scarce. This is just an addition to what God is doing. But there are two individuals like that. It burns like flames in your chest. It burns, and it's a recovery of lost fellowship. It's a recovery of lost fellowship. Holy Ghost, it's a recovery of lost fellowship. Let it burn. Let it burn. Let passion be recovered. Let passion be recovered. Aya kabale sofiata. Reso ve kofane tuate kababaya. Oh, don't send us passionless. Let it burn. Let it burn. Let it burn. Let it burn. Holy Ghost, let it burn. Oh, Saba, amen. 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 The Lord is showing me that there is a dreamer, a particular person. You are a dreamer. I don't mean you have dreams, but your prophetic expression is through dreams. But the Lord is saying that He wants to add something. He wants to add an ability. And it is interpreting ability. Father, this one whose gift in dreams you are upgrading, help me find that person. Let your flames rest upon that individual. Let your flames rest upon that individual. Let that gift be upgraded. Let that gift be upgraded. And I want to know the person. Don't play. Don't play. I want to know the person. So let that flame rest upon that individual now. Going from dreamer to dreamer and interpreter. Show me that person and let your hand become very strong on that individual. Let it become very strong. Let it become very strong. Holy Ghost, show me. Show me. That from the crown of the head to the sole of the feet, you will overwhelm. Okay, play now. Play now. Let that flame descend. Let that flame descend. Let that flame descend. Let that flame descend. Okay. So now there is a fellowship between the flame and that individual, and the hand of the Lord overwhelms. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Holy Ghost, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let it burn. Let it burn. Let it burn. And let the oil be deposited. Woo. Jesus. 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 Show me that person. Show me that person. Show me that person. That dreamer that you upgrade. You can stop playing. That dreamer. The flame hit here. So show me. Show me. Let your hand be strong. Let your hand be strong. Let your hand be strong. Ooh. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Overwhelm. Overwhelm.
overwhelm, overwhelm, overwhelm. Holy Ghost, overwhelm, overwhelm, overwhelm. Come, my sister. There's help. There's help. There's help. There's help. Silomovai leskapa rivre noteski pavole sita bahata. Yes. Yes. No longer confused. No longer confused. No longer confused. No longer confused. The one who gifts also reveals in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let me close this way. I want us to make a commitment in prayers. 2 minutes. I want us to say to the Lord, Lord, I am willing to represent you. Help me. I don't think we should close without asking for help. Listen. You see, man is a gift. Listen to me. I know that we spend our lives seeking gifts, but man is a gift. Man is a gift to spirits. Every spirit that wants to manifest needs a man. It means that even in the day that you offer yourself to God, I was doing a study on Sunday, and I saw that even when Abraham offered sacrifices, it was to God who. The Bible says that birds of the air came and tried to feed on what had been offered to God. It means that even if you offer yourself to God, the enemy will still come for you. Because man is designed to be a gift to all spirits. We want to consecrate ourselves to God and say, if you need a theater of expression, you have one. Let me be out of reach of other spirits that seek manifestation. You have won this one. This boy is your own. This boy is your own. It's your own gift. It's your own gift. You will no longer look around for one in whom to express. You have found a man. I am your gift. You will no longer seek representation. While I am alive, I am your gift. Ah, Jesus. Help me. Help me. I choose to live for you. I choose to live by you. Send me help. In the place where you have put me, men will know what you look like when they look at me. By the help of your spirit, in words, in thoughts, in outlook, and much more in deed. Yes, I am your gift. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed.